All right, this is it. My name is Jeff K., and you're listening to episode 168 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Welcome back to the Bunker, boys and girls. Thank you guys for tuning in. It is greatly appreciated. As I record this, it's snowing. It's been snowing for 24 hours. We're in the middle of what they're calling a sustained snow event. Never in my life have I heard that phrase. Don't really care for it, to tell you the truth. It's been snowing pretty much nonstop for 24 hours, and apparently it's going to keep on snowing deep into the night. It's no good. It's not snowing like, it's not dumping, but it's snowing steadily and it's adding up. There's a, you know what I'm saying? So this is no good. And the older boy's at work. He has a job where he doesn't have an option. So he went in, he got there all right, but I don't know what it's going to be like when he gets off at 8 o'clock tonight. You know, that's no good. So this stuff's bullshit. I texted my boss this morning. I said, I'm not going to attempt it. And she was like, yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. I said, all right. See, the thing about that is, for many years, decades even, I was under the, under the impression that it's very important and people were paying close attention to whether or not you even tried to get to work during snow or any kind of weather, you know. I felt an obligation. I felt like I needed to at least try to get there. If I didn't get there, at least I was trying, you know, because I kind of, you know, because it feels like there's a little bit of a judgmental attitude towards people who are like, I'm not, you know, it's quarter inch dusting out there. I can't drive in this, you know. Then there's mockery. When I first moved here, you know, I moved here from California. I spent 4 years in California out of 40 some at that point. I don't know how old I was, probably 40, somewhere in that neighborhood. So 10% of my life had been in California. And those assholes at my job were like, you know, if I would not come in because of snow, even if it was a foot and a half, I'd go in because I knew what would happen. They'd be like, California boy, not used to this snow, you know. It's like, shove it up your dick, man. God, I lived in West Virginia. We got plenty of snow. North Carolina, too. Not as much as up here. But I'm not, you know, this is nothing new to me. You know, California boy. All right. So starting at that point, I mean, I was already into that mode. I would always try to go to work. And but I couldn't handle that. You know, I couldn't risk getting the California boy talk. So, I mean, that even cemented it even more. But starting last winter, I'm like, I'm not doing that shit anymore. You know, I've had enough of it. I've done my time. Now, this is a young man's game. All you youngsters, you can go out there and drive on the interstate with your sphincter so tight you could crush a diamond. I've done that. I've done decades of that shit. Hands clamped on the wheel. Can't see anything. The window's fogging up. There's no other cars on the road. It's pitch dark. And it's the road's the interstate's covered in snow. You don't even know if you're on the road. And it's like, you know, any moment you could get stuck out there and then get rammed in the ass by a tractor trailer. You know, I've done that. I've done my time. And I feel like I've reached a point in my life where I'm not doing it anymore. So if I feel like there's going to be some problem with me getting back or forth to work, I'm like, nope. Is that wrong? I don't think so. I don't feel a twinge of guilt. Well, that's not true. I do feel a little twinge. That stuff's in there deep-seated, you know, that sense of obligation. But I'm not... last winter, I turned some corner. What's your feelings on that? Let's see. What else I have in my... just a few minutes ago, I was upstairs, and Tony said, why don't you make those burgers, four burgers in the fridge, why don't you make them for you and the younger boy for lunch? And I said, what, I'm supposed to go out on the deck and knock the snow off the grill and firing them up? She goes, no, use the foodie. I said, the foodie? I said, first of all, I don't like that name. That sounds... I feel stupid saying that. She goes, that's what it's called. I said, I'll always call it the apparatus. She goes, whatever. She goes, use that thing. I said, I've never used it before. I don't know how to use it. She goes, are you serious? I said, I've never used it. What am I supposed to do? Was I just born with the ability to navigate a ninja foodie? I mean, if I've never done it before, how am I supposed to know? So she goes, I'll show you how to do it. God. So then she ended up just doing it herself. That thing powers up to a terrifying energy. It just builds and builds and builds. I'm afraid I'm going to lift the top on that thing and be whisked off into another dimension. Or maybe like hurtled end over end into the 1800s. 1 minute you're sitting there like, grilling up four burgers. Next minute, you're at the Gettysburg Address. Is that an irrational fear? But the thing, it just like fires up. Like you turn it on, you can just hear it building and building and building. This is a substantial piece of equipment. This is not some lightweight piece of shit that you get off CVS. No, what is it, CVS? What is it? Not CVS. You know, one of those home shopping network things. This is a substantial piece of equipment. Fires up to a terrifying energy. So anyway, she ended up doing it. Still don't know how to use it. I mean, I guess I could figure it out. You turn the power on, and then you turn, there's a booklet that comes with it, and you just look and see hamburgers, you know, and it'll say, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. Then, you know, whatever. I could figure it out, but that thing gets used, I can tell you that much. That thing, that ninja foodie, the apparatus, that thing gets used every day, at least once, often multiple times a day. You know, we've been suckered into buying these little, these half-ass, like, kitchen appliances that never get used again. You know, everybody has. There's like a bunch of them that we've purchased. And they seem like, oh, man, that's going to be great. And then they get used maybe like, five times. Stuck on a shelf somewhere, never to be touched again. Not with this thing, not with the apparatus. That thing gets used all the time by three members of the family, and I'm not one of them. But it does a good job. That thing's a kick-ass piece of equipment. So anyway, Tony's up there. I said, I'm going to go record this podcast while these burgers are cooking. And she goes, yeah, whatever. I said, by the way, why do you never listen to my podcast? I said, why? You know, how come you don't listen to it? And this is the answer she gave me. This is verbatim what she said. She goes, are you serious? That's how she said it, with like a little chuckle. She's like, are you serious? Man, I get no respect at all. I get it from every direction. Oh. She goes, are you serious? You know, that kind of thing. Like, man. That's like the worst thing. I remember years ago, this is many years ago, she was like, I might have told you this story. I think I wrote about this at the website. One time we were like, you know what we should make this weekend? Wild, passionate love? No, deviled eggs. Anyway, yesterday my dad called me like three times. He's experiencing vaccination envy. You know what I'm saying? He's down in Florida with all his buddies from all over the world. And, there's like 150 of them in this community. And yesterday he told me that 12 people had been vaccinated. And, but then he called me back later. And I guess at 2 o'clock, you can go online and you can sign up for the next day. And I guess this only happens on Sunday. I'm unclear on it. Sunday at 2 o'clock, you can go to this website and you can sign up for the next day or the next week or something. I'm not clear on it. But everybody, nobody has any luck with this thing. They go on there and they There's never any appointments available. But yesterday, apparently, a bunch of his buddies, a bunch of his friends and stuff got appointments. So then he calls me. He doesn't have anything to do with the internet. He's like, whenever somebody says, go online and do this, he goes, buddy, I don't have a line. You know, that kind of stuff. So he turns his nose up at the internet. But then he calls me. He goes, can you get on that website and see if you can sign me up? So I went on there. And it was a long, drawn-out process. They asked all these questions on there. And the thing was, like, all these questions about their health. And it was like, he was just going, no. He was just answering every question, no, no, no. He's just like, we're just, like, powering through. He goes, just get to the end of it. And I was like, okay. Things like, so he was saying no to everything. And the thing says, are you currently pregnant? No. Are you currently breastfeeding? No. Do you have a sexually transmitted disease? And he goes, not yet. That killed me. He was like, no, no, no. Have you ever had a sexually transmitted disease? Not yet. All right. Well, anyway. So I went through this whole process and got to the end. No, there was no appointments available. In all three locations. I guess they're doing them in three different locations within 50 miles of them. No, nothing. It was like 2:30. It was only a half hour after. So anyway, he's like anti-internet, but then, you know, all his friends around there are signing up for these vaccinations. He's not able to get in. I'm going to try to help him out next Sunday, of course. We'll see if I can get him in, but He's experiencing, he and my mom are experiencing vaccination envy. You familiar with that? I can't say as I am. All right, I'm gonna go grab another cup of coffee, and I'm gonna take this time to, you know, turn it over to our sponsor. All right.
From San Francisco comes
Rice Aroni, the San Francisco treat. Rice Aroni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan's no boiling, cooking ease.
The flavor that is sure to please.
Rice Aroni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice Aroni, the delicious break from potatoes, now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan's no boiling, cooking ease.
The flavor that is sure to please.
Rice Aroni, the San Francisco treat.
All right, we're back. What do you think about that? Start running ads in this thing. I got to keep the lights on. You know, I got to keep the lights on up in this bitch. Anyway, who cares if the ad is from 1974? I don't need any attitude. All right. I want to play for you now a clip from another podcast. This is Producer Zip's podcast. He does it with his friend Bob, and it's called the No Redeeming Qualities podcast. It's very funny. I used to listen to it back when I was I listen to it now. You know, I dip in and out, but I used to listen to every episode of it back when I was going to Planet Fitness. When I get up on the treadmill, the road to nowhere. And walk and walk and walk. And I'd listen to, that's what I always listened to, was the No Redeeming Qualities. It's very funny. They're very funny together. I guess they've been friends forever. And they were talking, Zip was talking about something I wrote in the early days of the Surf Report. He went on Amazon and bought that book of the first year of the Surf Report website. Remember, I was going to do 5 years of them, and then I did one and stopped. Is that classic Jeff K or what? But anyway, he went and bought that first one, and he was he occasionally sends me a text message about something I said in there. Like, I can't remember that, man. That was 20 years ago. I can barely. But he brought up something on his podcast, and I thought I'd play the clip for you. It's about, I'll just play it right now. Okay, here's Bob and Zip.
There's a podcast I edit, the West Virginia Surf Report, and it's based off a website. You've probably heard me talk about him before. It's not a Gamma Gator show. It's something I do outside of Gamma Gator. And I saw he's been writing this website for literally over 20 years. And he has some volumes of old articles. And I picked one up on Amazon. I thought, I want to read it. And so these are bits that this dude, that Jeff Kay, the author, he wrote like 22 years ago.
Oh, God.
And there was one that I thought of you.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about his wife. He said that his wife was at Walmart and told him, I saw the most gross thing ever. And he's like, what? And she goes, it was a microwave cracklins. Yeah. And so, you know, cracklins, you like cracklins, but normally they're not eaten hot, right? They're, I mean, they can be heated up, but they're not like cooked in a microwave.
There's, I mean, if you're talking about Louisiana cracklins, they can be done hot, but not so, like pork rinds.
And as I'm reading it, he's talking about, he goes, well, at first he said, oh, that is gross, but then apparently he couldn't get out of his head, so he went to Walmart and bought them because he wanted to eat them. And it got delayed because 9/11 happened, and he forgot about it. Oh. And he sat at his counter, and I just thought, I don't know why that tickled me so bad. Because he's like, it's like September 9th, I got the cracklins, next one's September 11th. He's like, well.
Yeah. I remember those cracklins, those things. I don't remember, to tell you the truth, I don't remember. So did I was planning on buying the cracklins, and then 9/11 so rudely interrupted my plans? Is that what it is? Or did I buy the cracklins, and I wasn't able to fire them up in the microwave because of 9/11? I don't know, I'm unclear on what the issue was. Something about the microwave cracklins got interrupted rudely by 9/11. I don't know. I don't remember. But I'll tell you what I do remember is I remember those things are disgusting. I remember firing those things up. It smelled like we were boiling a raccoon in this house. It was disgusting. The stench coming off those things. And they were hot. That is weird, man. They're weird. Hot crackle. I mean, they're like, was it pork rinds? I mean, I had pork rinds here and there throughout my life. Also fairly gross. But these cracklins, there's like a gaminess to them. The hotness, the heat added to the horrendousness of it. The stench off of it. I mean, it was terrible. It was like we're like having roadkill in here. And it feels like, I don't know, it's probably a false memory. It feels like there was like hair on it. It was like hair. This thing's like one side of it had hair on it. I don't know. That can't be true. But I remember, I can taste those things. That was 20 years ago, roughly. And I can taste, I know exactly what those shitty things tasted like. They were horrendous. All right. The microwave crackling. And, anyway, 9/11 apparently got in my way. Did 9/11 affect you in some way like that, where you had plans, and it's like, and then it interrupted something, and you're like, and you're annoyed. I don't know. It's a long shot, but you're annoyed that 9/11 like threw a monkey wrench into things. Then you're like, man, what kind of a monster am I, worrying about my little problems? You know what I'm saying? Deborah, did you have any problem like that? Or is it just me and my microwave cracklins from Walmart? Disgusting. They still make those things? Ugh, I would not recommend. And now I have another follow-up from a previous episode. This is from, I mentioned the other day about white dog shit. I used to see, when I was a kid, there would be white dog shit laying around, scattered around. You know what else used to be around when I was a kid? Litter, trash. People would just be walking down the street, like eat a Snickers bar and just like throw the wrapper on the ground and not even think a thing about it. It's like, what the hell? When you think back on that, it's crazy. Nobody put anything in trash cans. There's like trash blowing around. There's like a vortex of like, you know, Snickers wrappers and, you know, Reese cup, those little cups, those little brown cups that they come in. There's like swirling around trash everywhere. You know, it's like unbelievable. But, you know, they convinced us that's not the route to go. They convinced society that that's not the route to go. And I applaud their efforts. But anyway, what were we talking about? White dog shit. So there used to be, and I never understood how such a thing could happen. I mean, I've never seen, well, I mean, I don't, how could you have like white shit? You know, when I was a kid, it was a mystery to me. And what's even worse, or what's even more puzzling, is now there is none. You never see that anymore. I mean, I guess people clean up the shit better than they used to, just like they used to, you know, clean up, throw trash down. But you still see dog shit around. I mean, and none of it's ever white. So anyway, I finally got closure on this by an expert, and he called in, and here it is.
Mr. K, I am Dr. Andre Grunion from the Nova Scotia Institute for Canine Excrement Studies. We listen to your podcast in our St. Bernard Laboratory Division every week. We are too cheap to pay for bonus podcasts. Believe it or not, Canine Excrement Studies is not a glamorous or lucrative line of work. No one seems to care about the science. Except for you, Mr. K. And we here at the Nova Scotia Institute for Canine Excrement Studies have an answer about why white canine excrement has been on the decline in the last few decades. Will you shut up? The answer is simply the diet of the North American canine. Their diet consists of mainly grains and corns, or what you may call cheap filler. The more protein in a canine's diet, the whiter the excrement will turn when it loses moisture over a short period of time. North Americans feed their canines with whatever is on sale. And some of the food isn't even fit for feline consumption. The more meats and meat byproducts in the canine's diet, the better. And the whiter the excrement becomes. I hope that answers the question to your mystery, Mr. K.
Thank you, Dr. Grunion, for your input on that important matter. I don't know the moisture of, I don't know, turd moisture. It's a little over my head, but I appreciate it. I think I understand what you're saying. So thanks for the call, Dr. Grunion from the Nova Scotia Institute of what? Anyway, excrement. Oh, man, this thing's crazy. All right, what else we got here? Oh, this is, okay, we're doing follow-ups. It's all follow-ups now. So recently, maybe as the last, within the last two episodes, Clinton called in, our old buddy Clinton. And he planted this seed inside my head, right? That I haven't made, remember that episode of Seinfeld where this guy would break up with these women? His parting shot would be some kind of seemingly lame put down that would go on to cause the women to go crazy. Not crazy, but like they'd get obsessed with what he said, you know? And do you remember that episode where he broke up with Elaine and he goes, "Whatever, big head," you know? And she was like, "Big head? That's the best you got?" Next thing you know, she's like obsessed with the size of her head. She's walking around with like a scarf on, you know, wrapped around her head. Remember that? So anyway, the similar thing happened with Clinton. All right. So he called in, if you recall, and he was talking about something that happened some historical thing that happened that was closer to your date of birth. What is it? It's closer to your date of birth than your date of birth is to today. All right? So some historical thing. I mean, I got a whole bunch of them written down here. Hang on a second. Let me find it. Yeah, so these are things that happened. These are historical occurrences that happened closer in years to your date of birth than your date of birth is to today. You know what I'm saying? Are you following me? So I'm like, this is one of these things. He called about it's like several different things. And he talked about this as just an offhand comment, but I can't stop thinking about it. So I started making a list. I did a little bit of research on this thing. Here's some things that happened. This is how old I am. This is why it's so disturbing to me. This is how old I am, all right? These are things that happened that are closer to my date of birth than my date of birth is to today, all right? World War I, as I mentioned that last time, World War I happened closer to my date of birth than my date of birth is to today. That's no good, right? The sinking of the Titanic. I mean, that seems like that was a long time ago. And it was, right? Well, it was closer to my date of birth than my date of birth is to today. And that's no good. That terrifies me. Here's some new ones. Babe Ruth's rookie year, closer to my date of birth than my date of birth is to today. Babe Ruth, who's been dead since 1948 or 1949, his rookie season, you know what I'm saying? You follow me on this deal? The invention of the modern zipper. That happened closer to my date of birth than my date of birth is to today. The modern zipper. The invention of the modern brassiere. Same thing. Same deal. I don't know what they did before the bra was invented. I don't know. I guess they just like, you know, when they had to like run or whatever, they would just, the breasts would just scissor up and down, one going up, one going down. It's like some kind of highly erotic, like steam-powered machine. I don't know. Anyway, the modern bra, the invention of the modern bra, closer to my date of birth than my date of birth is to today. That doesn't make me feel very good. The bra? Ugh. I thought it was always here. I don't know. Anyway, now here's one. Check this shit out. All right. The invention of stainless steel. Stainless steel. What the? What in the hell? Stainless steel. Closer to my date of birth than my date of birth is to today. Stainless steel. I mean, if that doesn't terrify the shit out. The first radio that could pick up more than one station. The invention of a radio that you could, had a dial on it, that you could listen to just, you know, I guess back in, I don't know, I guess you just like, whatever. It's like tuned to one station or there's no stations or whatever. The invention of the first radio that you could pick up more than one station with. Closer to my date of birth than my date of birth is to today. And lastly on my list, I didn't even know this happened. I didn't even know about this. But the invention of the first toaster that toasted both sides of the bread at the same time. I was reading about this. Apparently, before that, you had it just toasted one side. You'd have to put it in there. And then at halfway through, flip it, like a, you know, turn it over. Apparently, at some point, they created one that did both sides. And you talk about, you know, living the life of luxury. When you get a toaster that toasts both sides of the bread at the same time, mister, you are living like the Vanderbilts. And that shit happened closer to my date of birth. Oh, God. See, Clinton, you've destroyed my life. I don't know. This is terrifying. The Titanic, stainless steel. What in the hell? Whew. All right. Anyway, I'm calling it a day. I'm despondent. Hang on. So let me take a hit off this cold coffee. Ooh, that's shitty. All right. Anyway, I'm at the end of the line here. Thanks, Clinton. I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you want two of these a week instead of just a mere one, why would you be happy with just one of them? That's ridiculous. That's ludicrous. Well, you can take care of that over at patreon.com. That's Patreon, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. They call it a patronage, but like the foodie, I don't like that word. I call it a donation. They call it a patronage. Sign up today. $4 will do it, and you'll get an extra episode every week. Not every once in a while, not every month. That's for suckers. No, every week, an extra episode for your ears only, for patrons only, the Delta Force of podcast listeners. So if you want to be a part of that, do it today. Patreon.com/JeffK. And if you want to call in like Dr. Grunion, from the Nova Scotia Institute of Dog Shit Studies or whatever. Do that today, too, or anytime. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be today. Put it in your phone. It's a telephone number, 570-290-8151. Again, 570-290-8151. Give me a call 24 hours a day. If you have anything to say, add or question, if you want to destroy my life like Clinton, by planting a seed, an evil seed, deep underneath the, what is it? Anyway, if you want to do that, you can do it. 570-290-8151. Also, I have an email address that I don't check, and that's surfreportpod@gmail.com. Someday I might crack that baby open. It'll be like Al Capone's vault. I don't know what the hell's in there. So if you want to send me an email, do that. And we're at the end. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back soon. I guess I'll go out there and shovel. See, this is garbage. This is trash. This is dirt. I hate this crap. I need to get down to South Carolina. Lickety split. All right. Anyway, we're at the end of this thing. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll see ya. Have a good one. Bye.
Grunion from the Nova Scotia Institute for Canine Excrement Studies.